Welcome. This is Radio Free Gaming Presents This Week in Defunct Games. This week, we take a look at Alex Kidd, Galaga, Bravo Man, and Mortal Kombat 2. And when we're done with that, we try to explain what's wrong with somebody else's podcast. All this and more is coming your way when you listen to This Week in Defunct Games. Alright, so my name is Cyril Lachelle, and I am the creator and writer of DefunctGames.com. You're listening to Radio Free Gaming Presents This Week in Defunct Games. This is our weekly show where we take a look at classic games from the last 20 or 30 years, and we tell you what's good and what's bad and what you should buy on the Virtual Console, the Xbox 360, and the PlayStation 3, and what good compilations are coming out. We also dig into your letters, and we just usually talk about good old-fashioned games. We still don't have a co-host, so I'm running solo yet again, but we do have good equipment, so this should be a considerably better-sounding episode of This Week in Defunct Games. We have a pretty packed show for you, so let's just not dilly-dally around, and let's get right into it. Up first, we have the Virtual Console, which, for the most part, is consistent. Every week, we get at least two or three games that come out, and not all of those games are good, but when you have three games, you figure that at least one of them is going to be worth your time. Well, not this week. This week we have, we don't have anything worth talking about, but that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about them. This week we're going to kind of bore you through three of these games. They include the NES version of Galaga, they include the TurboGrafx-16 game Bravo Man, and, of course, the Genesis game, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle. None of these games are really good. You should not spend your money on them, but they are worth talking about, at least because we have to fill up, 18 or 20 minutes. So let's just get into it. First up is Galaga. Now, of course, people old enough to remember Galaga will remember that this is a 1981 game, an arcade classic that... people played after they got bored of Space Invaders. It's essentially the same sort of thing. You play this little spaceship that's locked to the bottom of the screen, and you're shooting up in an overhead view, and you have all these aliens, the multicolored aliens, that go around the screen in different patterns, and you have to shoot them. And if you don't shoot them while they're going around, what you do is they line up into these really nice lines, and then you shoot them that way. And then, after a little while, they all disperse and you do it again. Basically, like all games of this era, you're basically just doing this for points. It's all about getting the high score and getting on that leaderboard. And this is pretty much the same thing that you have here on the NES. Now, I'm not going to say that this is a bad game. The original it's a classic. Everybody loves, the original Galaga. But it hasn't held up real well, especially when you consider that there are other really good shooters on the Virtual Console. I mean, it's really hard to play this when you could go and play Gradius or you could go and play R-Type. Now, there is a certain charm here, but I have to admit that this seems a little out of place. We don't get a lot of these sort of arcade ports, especially old arcade ports, on the Virtual Console. Now, this is an NES game, so it's an NES port of the version of the arcade game. But that doesn't matter because this is still a port of a game that was by this time essentially 4 or 5 years old. Even after just with 4 or 5 years difference, the NES games were far superior to anything that we had seen in the Galaga era. Still, this is a fun game, but the problem is that at $5, this is exactly the same price as the Xbox Live Arcade version. And the Xbox Live Arcade version has some significant improvements. For one thing, it has full HD support. It includes leaderboards so that you can actually compare your score with friends, which is one of the appeals of these old arcade games. And, of course, it has achievements. I mean, I'm morally against to buying games just to get achievements. But still, that is a reason to play this game over this kind of crummy NES port. That's not to say this is a bad game, but it's really not worth your money because you could get a far superior version of it on another system. $5 is a bit steep when you consider the age of the game, but it's probably the best of the three Virtual Console games, and then again, that's not really saying much. I mean, between moldy cheese and rotten bread and sewer water, the sewer water is probably the best. Actually, I'm not so sure about that, but I'm not going to think about that because we're going to move on to our next game. All right, up next we have Bravo Man, who coincidentally is not the superhero that allows you to watch Project Runway and Top Design. No, this is Bravo Man, your basic 2D side-scrolling action game for the TurboGrafx-16. Now, this isn't a terrible game, but it also isn't very imaginative. Basically, this is kind of like Vigilante and Smash TV, sort of a 2D side-scrolling action game where you punch and kick stuff. The big difference here is that you can jump. You can jump really, really high. That's not really that impressive, though, because you don't really have any reason to jump really, really high. One thing that this thing does have going for it, though, is that you can extend your arms, your legs, and, well, even your head for half of the screen or more, which is actually pretty cool because you can hit enemies across the level before they even get close to killing you. This also makes the game kind of easy. No, not kind of easy. This makes this game really easy, and the problem is that the game's only a couple of hours long. You're not going to have a big challenge here. Even the bosses seem like pushovers. But there are a couple of reasons to try this game out. For instance, it's a lot of fun to look at the mid-level cinemas because it has this villain who keeps telling people to go and attack Bravo Man. But he's not all that interesting of a character. And what's great is he has this really cool head of hair and something that looks like a purple cauliflower. Others, myself included, believe that it looks a little bit more like a mushroom cloud, like when you drop a nuclear bomb. Either way, he has this really cool look to him, even if he is kind of stupid looking. Anyway, moving on, the entire game is really just about you running from one side of the level to another side of the level, and punching and kicking. And you don't really get any extra attacks or moves or anything like that. You pretty much, what you start with is what you get throughout the entire game. This isn't very interesting, though, because you're just going the entire way through punching and kicking and dodging enemies and killing bosses and watching stupid cinemas. It's actually really boring, but on the other hand, it is a lot better than Vigilante. There are a lot of really good TurboGrafx-16 games out there, and this is not one of them. And I hate to say it, but this is the kind of game that cements the argument against the TurboGrafx-16. There are a lot of great games out there for the system, yet this is what they give us? Come on, guys, give us something better. Give us Arizonk, at least. Having said that, you know, it's fun to look at the pictures. It looks like it should be a fun game, but it isn't. It's not worth your $6. If this was in some TurboGrafx compilation, you might try it out for a couple of times and have a good time, but this isn't the kind of thing that you want to spend money on. All right, last but certainly not least is Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle. Now, there have been a bunch of Alex Kidd games, but this is really the only one that's on the Sega Genesis. This came out a little bit before Sega realized that they had a hit on their hands with Sonic the Hedgehog. And you should be happy that they caught on, because this is a terrible, terrible game, and Alex Kidd is a terrible, terrible character. If you don't know who Alex Kidd is, he's kind of a monkey-like character. He has spiky ears and nothing really else that's interesting. He doesn't have a lot of attitude. He never has anything interesting to say. He has some really boring character designs. He's not a very cool character at all. He punches and he jump kicks, and that's about it. About the only thing this game has going for it is that you can ride helicopters and you can ride in a motorcycle and other vehicles. Outside of that, though, this is pretty much just a standard 2D platformer where you go around and you punch enemies, you jump kick stuff, and you open up some treasure chests and get money out of them. What's kind of cool, though, is that you collect this money and then you can barter with people. And you play this little mini game that involves basically paper, rock, scissors. And if you win, you win some sort of item. And this is kind of how you play the entire game. So there's a lot of platforming, and then there's a lot of paper, rock, scissors. So, like, if you're really into paper, rock, scissors, then this is the game for you. Because there's a lot of paper, rock, scissors playing in this game, but I don't think that's going to... I mean, you can go and play that with any... I'm sure there are computer programs that you can play paper, rock, scissors with. It's just not that interesting. But the other problem I have is that, you know, the game isn't... Not only not is it not very interesting, but it doesn't look very good either. I don't expect much from my 16-bit games. I mean, certainly there are some really, really good looking 16-bit games, but I don't expect too much from them. But I do expect them to be at least somewhat better looking than an 8-bit title. And this, you know, even though it's an early Genesis game, this just looks terrible. I mean, it looks like a glorified Master System game, and you know, I can understand why someone might not want to play this simply because of that. Having said that, I don't think that, you know, anybody should really be excited to play this. It's not a very good game, and it's certainly not worth your time. So just avoid this one. Avoid all of the Virtual Console games this week. I'm sure there's going to be something better next week. I don't know what they'll be, but I'm sure there's got to be something better next week. Right? If it sounded like I was bored throughout that entire last segment, then chances are it's because I was. I won't kid you. I don't like talking about games I could care less about. I mean, it's okay to review really bad games, but who wants to sit here and talk about them for 15 minutes? Instead, I would rather talk about something good, something I want to play, like Mortal Kombat 2. Well, that's the good news, is because it's the only good game of the week, so I can spend some time talking about it. It's Mortal Kombat 2 for the PlayStation 3. Now, when it comes to the classic arcade games, the Xbox 360 is really the system that seems to get most of them. Their Xbox Live Arcade is really good at getting, you know, the Street Fighters, the Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and the stuff like that. But when it comes right down to it, there's also some good stuff on the PlayStation 3 that people seem to pass over. Midway's been doing a good job, especially, of getting some good old-school arcade games on the system for reasonable prices. Their newest game is Mortal Kombat 2, which is the single best Mortal Kombat game of all time. That's right, that's the best one of all. I know some people are going to complain that it's Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 and the original Mortal Kombat 3. That's better. I mean, they're going to say it has a run button, but those people are wrong. The Mortal Kombat 3 is not better than Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2 has the right tone. It has the right play control. It has the right levels and fatalities. It's before everything got kind of silly. Oh, I know. It's got babyalities and it's got friendships and stuff like that, but I mean, those are just bonus stuff. It's also got really great fatalities, it's got really cool stages, and it's got some of the best characters of all time. How can you beat Kung Lao and Baraka and Katana and Raiden and Scorpion and all of those other ones? I mean, it's just a fantastic game. The problem is that if you remember it from back in the day and you haven't played it for a while, you're going to be a little surprised at how it plays. It's kind of clunky. The animation and everything isn't real fluid, especially if you've played like some of the more recent 3D games and even, you know, games, some 2D stuff like, I don't know, Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max or Guilty Gear or something like that. I mean, if you've played those recently, then you're going to look at this, and this is going to look ancient by comparison. But it still holds up pretty well, and it's still a whole lot of fun to play. I mean, there's nothing better than playing with Baraka and just using that blade to chop people up, and oh, it's just just way too much fun. And it really is the best thing that Ed Boon ever did. But the real reason to get this is not to just play it by yourself. The real reason is to get this and play it online. This is one of those great PlayStation 3 games that you can actually play online. And you have leaderboards, and you have a whole bunch of stuff that you would normally get with the Xbox 360, but you're getting it with the PlayStation 3. And best of all, the thing's only $5. The game is dirt cheap. It's half the cost of Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. And you know what? It's twice as much fun. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it now. It's a much better game. You need to buy this. Alright, so we may be out of games to talk about, but that doesn't mean the fun has to end. Not that there's been any fun in this entire episode, but you know what I mean. So, last week you'll remember that we played you a clip from a podcast called BGB Shout. That's a British gaming blog shout, I believe. They do a podcast where they talk about new and old games, and I called them out for not even playing some of the old games. Well, I sent them an email after that podcast from last week. I sent them an email, and I let them know my thoughts. I was polite about it. I gave them a couple of points, and, well, they responded. However, I'm not entirely pleased with how they responded, but to be fair, I'm going to play you what they said and then respond to it. So, here you go.
Okay, so why don't we talk about something we talk about probably too much, Virtual Console.
Alright.
Though, this week, we did get an email about Virtual Console.
Oh, yeah.
Coverage, saying that we might be too harsh on the TurboGrafx. And I've decided we could be harsher. So this week, we're not going to cover any TurboGrafx games.
Good. Okay. I mean, in all respects to the guy, the better TurboGrafx games are multi-platform, and the ones that aren't look like butt.
The good ones are the ones we haven't covered because we weren't doing BGB Shout back then, like Bonk's Adventure and stuff.
Yeah, Bonk's Adventure, maybe a bit of The House.
There are definitely good games on it. They're coming.
Yeah. But you just don't know about them yet, because we haven't played it.
You know, AAA title best. I don't know. I had a TurboGrafx, but I couldn't find a power supply to fit it. So I sold it.
So I'm that guy, huh? I mean, at least I had the courtesy of actually saying their podcast, which again is BGB Shout. So if you like what you hear, go subscribe to their podcast, listen to it, and, you know, laugh. But don't take their old reviews too seriously, because it's pretty clear they didn't play them. And that's my point, is that it seems like they didn't take any of the arguments that I gave them seriously. They just kind of glossed over it. And, well, I took it as making fun of me. But let's go over some of the points here. Now, first and foremost, he says that the old games look like ass. Well, yeah, of course they do. They're 20 years old. I mean, let's be realistic here. You're not going to get state-of-the-art graphics from a game from the late 80s. I mean, you just don't. I mean, if you're the retro guy, then you can't say that something looks bad and that's not a reason to play it. I mean, how good does Excitebike look? My other point was that you definitely shouldn't be playing a game for only a couple of minutes and then reviewing it. I mean, when I review new games, I play them all the way through, and then I write a review about them. I mean, how fair is it to play 20 or 30 or 40 minutes of, say, Final Fantasy 12 or, you know, God of War 2 or something like that, and then review it? I mean, that isn't fair at all. There are a lot of things in a lot of these old games that you get later on in the game, you know, new abilities, new moves, whatnot, that you just don't know about early on. My other point, though, was that there are a lot of great games that are not ports. And they sort of brush it off saying that either the games look like ass or the games were ports. Well, there are a lot of games that aren't ports. I mean, I recommended that they play, you know, all of the Bonk games. I recommended Chu Man Fu and Liquid Kids, Loom, Devil's Crush, Ninja Spirit, Photograph Boy, Puzzle Boy, of course, Eastbook 1 and 2, Space Harrier, Soldier Blade, Tricky Kick, The Legendary Axe, Military Madness, and so on and so forth. I mean, there was like two dozen games that I recommended that they didn't talk at all about. And you know, it's fine if they don't like the system. It's fine if they don't want to give it a fair shake. But I mean, but come on now. Just be fair. Don't just play a couple of minutes of it and write it off completely. Or especially don't write it off because it's from a system that you never really played when you were growing up. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and it's mildly insulting to all of the people that worked hard on these games. I mean, that's one of the things that we like to do at Defunct Games, is respect these old games. We may give bad reviews to some games, but at least we play them through, and then we give them a fair shake. And that's all I ask, and that's all I've ever asked. And, you know, it's fine if you don't want to say my name. That's fine. You know, we have enough fans as it is. But if you like what you hear, their podcast is BGB Shout. All right, well, that concludes this episode of This Week in Defunct Games. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to me. We'll be back next week with hopefully some better games. If you liked what you heard, I definitely recommend that you head on over to defunctgames.com. That's defunctgames.com. That's where you'll find news, reviews, plenty of great articles every single day of the week. We have old reviews on the weekends. I mean, it's really a site. If you're not going there already, then what the hell are you doing listening to this podcast? So get on over there. If you have any questions for me, I strongly recommend you send me an email. My email address is loser@defunctgames.com. You can find that on pretty much every page of the website. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back next week. So I will talk with you then. Just keep smiling.